Hi, friends. How are we doing? This morning, we continue our study of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are a collection of maxims which teach wisdom, the skill of living, the ability to navigate life making good and godly choices. Now, many of you decided to take up the Proverbs challenge. As we study the Proverbs through the summer months, I've encouraged you to read a proverb a day. It will prepare you for the weekend message in which we'll examine various themes from the book, but it's a great way to invite God into your everyday life. Now, why don't we pause for a moment to quiet our hearts and do just that? Let's invite him to speak to us. Bow your heads with me. God, as we come to the Proverbs, may you use these ancient words to speak to our present pain. May you speak to our anxieties. May you speak to our frustrations. May we leave here with perspective we didn't have when we walked in. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Today I want to look at perhaps the most well-known proverb. You find it on Christian calendars. Its words adorn Christian plaques that have hung in Christian homes for generations. The proverb is found in chapter 3 in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This proverb is a favorite theme of the scriptures. It's a favorite theme of my messages. It's the theme of trust. When I say that it's a motif of my sermons, I do not at all imply that I'm any good at it. Now, there are certain portions of the journey of life in which I excel at trust. For me, when utter calamity strikes, I'm as cool as a cucumber. Really, ask my wife. If life is coming undone, I find hope and strength knowing that I'm in God's hands. It's great. Ironically, my lack of faith lurks in the day-to-day, the week-to-week struggles of deadlines and to-do lists. I race about as if God has given me too many assignments but too little time. Now, if you dig deep into my soul, you'll see that's a lack of trust. However, my greatest toil of trust, you know what it's with? These messages. These things I deliver every weekend. I'm not sure why. It's not like I'm new at this. If you consider all of the messages that I prepare and preach at all of our services, if you add them up, I deliver hundreds of messages every year. If you tallied the time that I've spent in preparation and delivery, I have well over 10,000 hours of experience as a biblical communicator. I added it up this week. Even still, few weeks go by that I'm not wrestling with God in prayer as I research and write. And when I say wrestling, this is the way my prayers sound. Oh, God! Now, one of the worst things that could happen to me is a message falling apart as the weekend approaches. I know you're saying, Troy, why can't you just wing it like other pastors? Here's why. Open mouth, insert foot. Don't ask me to wing it. You won't like it if I wing it. Yesterday I was trying to finish the weekend message. And I can't explain it. But something didn't feel right. I mean, all the elements were in place. Scripture, passage, storyboard, all the little things that I do. Slides were already created. But something wasn't clicking. As I wrestled with God, I sensed that he wanted me to do a different message using different texts from the Proverbs. Now, please recall, this was yesterday afternoon. I have a 6 p.m. Saturday service. Switching messages that late would require me to teach the weekend message off the cuff. Friends, I don't do off the cuff. I have a panic attack if I go to the grocery store without a thoroughly compiled list categorized by aisle. No! Do you know what I sensed God saying? Trust me. So, maybe what you are about to hear is for you. If it is, you better listen, because this one took 5 years off my life. Proverbs chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's almost cliche in church circles. Trust in the Lord. But what does that mean on a Monday afternoon before the big presentation? What does that mean when the end of the month approaches and you don't think you'll have enough for the mortgage? Trust in the Lord. The Hebrew word is betach. It means to rely on, to place your confidence in. Originally, it meant to throw yourself down upon something. It is about utter dependence. It's about careless abandon. And think through what we read in verse 5. We saw the nature of this trust. We are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. It is to be done with total commitment. Now, some of us have been hurt so often, we have trouble trusting people. But hear me, with God, you don't have to watch your back. With God, he's got your back. I'm glad he's got my back. Here's a photo taken of me driving up 1300 South last week. Oh yeah, good times, huh? That was my car at one time. You see, while driving eastbound on 13th, a driver headed in the opposite direction decided to cross the center lane and share my lane with me. It was very generous of her to think about me. As you can see, the damage to my car was extensive. Oh, where'd my wheel go? Oh, there it is on the other side of the car. That's neat. I'm glad God's got my back. And I'm glad you're not looking for a new pastor this morning. Here's my challenge for you. Are you ready for it? Dare to trust him. Dare to trust him. In fact, as I said, this message was very last minute. The title in your bulletin is incorrect. Take out your bulletin, take out a pen, and I want you to scratch that title out. I don't want to see it. Painful memories. The title of this message is I Dare You. I dare you to trust him. Now, for many of you, this will be the most unnatural decision you can make. You're used to looking out for yourself. Everyone else has let you down. The plaque on your wall reads, trust no one. But I dare you. Honestly, there were two ways that we could look at my accident last week. I mean, first of all, come on. If God is so trustworthy, then why did he allow it to happen in the first place? I mean, I work for God. You'd think the job would come with a few perks, right? Let's take another look at my car. I want you to note how clean my car is. You said, why is your car so clean, Troy? Let me tell you why. That's because I had just left the dealership where I had my car go in for its safety and emissions inspection. Truly, I was driving from the dealership to my house when this happened. Well done. The tow truck that you see in this photo couldn't get behind my car without damaging property, so he had to attach that chain to the back of my car and then drag it across the pavement to lift it onto his truck. It was soothing to watch. Now, if God is so trustworthy, then why did he allow the accident to happen in the first place? That's one way to look at this. There's another way. Well, first, thank God I wasn't injured. Better still, thank God the kids weren't with me. That's the car in which they normally ride. Car seats and all. I was alone. Thank God. Two ways to look at this situation. I dare you to trust him. I dare you. We often get fussy when circumstances don't go smoothly. But I found God often uses circumstances to teach us important lessons. So rather than pitching a fit, what if we clued in and looked for the lesson? Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. On impact, my side curtain airbags were released. Now, this was my first experience with an airbag. And I have to confess to you, it hurt. Right about here. Now, from what I understand, most airbags use pyrotechnics when released. And it makes sense. My car smelled like something was on fire. And I had this burning sensation on the side of my face immediately following the accident. It hurt. But how dumb would it be for me to complain about the airbags? My face liked the airbag better than it would have liked the window. Sometimes God's discipline is like the airbag. It hurts, but it helps. So I dare you to trust him. I dare you to trust him. Any and every season of life, I dare you. Funny thing about this word trust. It's used throughout the Old Testament in reference to God, but more frequently, it's used negatively to call out our trust in other things. Proverbs 11, verse 28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. While some put our trust in wealth, others put our trust in success. Still others put our trust in mankind. There's one place we lean most often. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He who trusts him in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. You'll remember Proverbs 3 verse 5 began, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It continues here, and lean not on your own understanding. The word for lean in Hebrew, it's a near synonym to trust. Literally, it means to support yourself on something. But just like our English word, it has a metaphorical meaning. Don't prop yourself up with merely your take on life. You can't trust yourself. Now, that statement needs to be qualified. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, God gave you a brain for a reason. Don't go out, do something crazy, and expect God to bail you out. That's not trust. In Matthew 4, Satan tries to convince Jesus to throw himself off a tall building and trust God to catch him. What does Jesus say? Don't test the Lord. Now, the whole point of the Proverbs is to get us to engage our brains, but to do so in accordance with the mind of God. As our friend Margaret Feinberg says, don't get all crazy pants on us, okay? Nevertheless, don't lean on your own understanding. Take account of your life. When problems come, does your trust in the Lord inform your actions? How often you just do it your way? Now, when you forge your own path, just remember you're going rogue, leaving the trailhead of wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. A problem with trusting God from our perspective. It's when it feels like he's failed us. When we feel he's unreliable. Another aspect of my car accident hands us a good illustration. And I apologize for belaboring this story. But, yeah, I mean, it has just been a nightmare dealing with insurance and adjusters and all these things. So I'm going to milk this for all it's worth. We're going to try to get something good out of my week. You see, after the accident, I rented a car. And when I arrived at the place, it was just kind of a fluke. They only had one car that I could rent. One car. It was an Italian manufactured car. And it started with an F. The only car they had, folks. So in the spirit of Magnum P.I. That's right. I'm now driving a Fiat. Ladies and gentlemen, you should see me behind the wheel. This is an automobile that offers street cred. I go by the name Holy Roller. Yesterday, I'm driving down the road with the sunroof open, listening to the Cars on my Sirius XM 80s channel, when a buffed out hipster hollers from the side of the road, "Rock on!" Yeah. I'd like to think he wasn't being sarcastic. You know, the last time you could purchase a Fiat in America, MTV actually played music videos. It was that long ago. Fiat ceased production of their vehicles here in 1984, and they did so for a couple reasons. First, decreasing gas prices convinced Americans that we all needed SUVs. Secondly, reliability became an issue. The Fiat became known as a car that would regularly break down, and Americans stopped buying them. The company continued to thrive in Europe and South America. Now they're shareholders of Chrysler, and this year marks their re-entry into the American market. But a lot of us question God's reliability like we questioned Fiat's reliability in the 80s. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure we can trust him. And many of you could protest. Where was he? Where was God when I was laid off? Where was God when she dumped me? Where was God when he divorced me? Where was God when my mom died? Where was he? Even still, even in these circumstances, I'm going to dare you to trust him. And I'm going to dare you to trust him. Listen to my words carefully. I dare you to trust God's character, not particular outcomes. It's one thing to trust God to answer your prayers. It's another thing to trust God to answer your prayers however he thinks best. You see, if I trust in outcomes, well, I'm really trusting my understanding of a situation. I'm really trusting what I think is best. Lean not on your own understanding. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen." The longer I live, the more I can say, I'm okay not understanding everything that happens to me. I'm okay not understanding why I was in that car accident. I'm okay not understanding why God dumped this message on me at the last minute rather than preparing me a few days earlier. I'm okay. I trust him. Usually. It's at this point our proverb gets practical. So far, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Most English translations use this word, acknowledge. However, I think there's a better word as long as you provide explanation with it. Literally in Hebrew, the text reads, in all your ways, know him. Now, that's not merely being aware of God. That's not offering God the occasional nod, acknowledging his presence. Mm-mm. It means in everything you do, fellowship with God. Share everything with him. Every part of your life. Every relationship, in every environment. Do life with God. And he said, Troy, I wouldn't want to drag God with me into everything I do and everywhere I go. Well, then are you trusting him with all your heart? Because if you were, maybe you wouldn't be there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. And here's the result, verse 6. And he will make your paths straight. In the metaphor of the Proverbs, straight paths are good paths. Unlike crooked paths, straight paths are free of detours and sure of direction. Friends, if you dare to trust him with the trajectory of your life, he will lead you where you're supposed to go. Will you trust him? Consider your life. Look at your greatest need. Your greatest insecurity or uncertainty. Where do you need him most? Maybe it's your career. Maybe you need a better job. Maybe you just need a job. I dare you to trust him. Maybe it's provision. Maybe you don't know where the money's going to come from. I dare you to trust him. Maybe it's a habit that you cannot kick. I dare you to trust him. Maybe you want to start dating again, but you're afraid and you don't know where and you don't know who and you don't know how. I dare you to trust him. Maybe you have a child who's struggling and you don't know what to do. I dare you to trust him.
Maybe your marriage is falling apart and you've done everything you can think of to fix it. I dare you to trust him. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my friends who are being squeezed by the vice called life. I pray that you teach them that in any and every circumstance, they can trust you because you are trustworthy. I pray that you would take the truth, the wisdom of this passage, and bring it to their minds this week when they need it most, when anxiety is high, when irritation is great, when they're angry, when they're fearful, when life is raging out of control. Take this passage and apply it to that life, to that situation, to that circumstance. And with it, may you bring your peace. I pray you'd help us in the heat of a moment to discern between our understanding of something and your understanding of something. And when ours does not align with yours, give us the faith to trust you. We pray this to you, our great, big, trustworthy God, in the name of your Son. Amen. Please stand with me. If you would like to have someone pray for you, I would encourage you to join us here at the front. The close of service, we're going to have some people who'd love to ask God, to lean on their trust of God and ask him to do something great in your life. For all of you, here's my blessing. May you trust in the character of the Almighty God. I double dog dare you. Grace and peace.